Good morning, everybody. Hey, so we have a moment here when a lot of seats will become empty. Okay? Look at them. They're just running downstairs to Sunday school. So now, those of you that couldn't find a seat, have a look around. Those of you who are sitting on the end of a row, maybe you can scoot in some. That's the SOS, scoot in some. Scoot over some. That'd be S-I-S. What am I saying? I can't even spell this morning. S-O-S. Scoot over some. Yeah. Hey, it gets better from here. Because I want to introduce a brother that some of you know. Most of the people in the 1001 service and the city ministry know Brett. He is famous as the leader of the Ahava home group. His wife... Alyssa is over here without my glasses. I can't quite see where she is.
She's the tiny one back there.
The tiny. I thought the tiny one was your little daughter.
Oh, she's downstairs.
Okay, all right. And Brett may have more breaking news for us. I don't know. But he's one of our special members. I mentioned last week that we do have some categories of special members. Now, everybody, every member is special. All right, everyone, you are. I love you, okay? And I really mean that. But there's some kind of extras that kind of get folded in there. The ones that I mentioned last week are the ones who either their parents were a member of Fellowship when they were in college, and now the child is here. And for those of us that have been around here most of those 40 years, it's a special feeling in our hearts. And then there are ones who graduate, move away to another city, and then come back. That's kind of special, too, because there are a lot of other churches they could go to. They don't have to come back to Fellowship, and it's such a blessing when they come back. Another category of special ones is ones who graduate. God gives them a job in town. They're involved in student ministry, leader in student ministry, and then they move up into married life. And daddy life and such, and they become leaders in the city ministry. And those are pretty special, too. Brett is one of those. And so we're so thankful to God for him and Alyssa and their baby Daisy and for just the Ahava home group and what that means to us, a great fellowship of young married. So I want to pray for Brett. He's going to share, those who are from the 11:11 noon service, excuse me, 11:11 starts in a couple of weeks. We've been doing a series this summer called Amazing Grace, and we've had different leaders share with us from a testimony standpoint how God really has shown his amazing grace in their life. And they've all been a little bit different and very inspiring, and I know Brett's is going to be as well. So let's pray for him. Lord, thank you for our brother Brett and his wife and daughter. Thank you for the fact that you've been maturing Brett and teaching him things by showing him your grace year after year from a Christian home through college and now in the world of work and marriage. Your grace has broken through in his heart. And so we thank you, Lord, for him being willing to share that with us this morning. And we just trust your Holy Spirit to guide him and us as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Roger. Roger, thanks also for calling me special, as I'm going to try to confess my pride up here. That helped a lot, Roger. So yeah, my name's Brett, and I grew up in Orlando, Florida, as the youngest of four brothers. And I've always wanted to be the best at sports. And so all my brothers are athletes, and we had some pretty intense competitions at our house. We would play baseball and football and basketball and ping pong and horseshoes, but really, two-on-two basketball in our driveway was the real competition, and it was a blood sport in my family, okay? Like, to the point where my mom wouldn't even watch us play because she would start calling fouls, be like, oh, you pushed him. Be like, Mom, you don't call the fouls. We call the fouls, Mom. And no blood, no foul was pretty accurate for that. And so I always had this desire to be the best at sports. A lot of it came from I was the youngest and the smallest of my brothers. All my brothers are 6'2 and over. And so growing up, I was always at least 6 inches shorter than them playing basketball. To the point where I remember pain in my heart because we would try to split up teams for 2-on-2. And my brothers would say it wasn't fair because whatever team I was on was at a disadvantage. And so from a young age, I always had a strong desire to be the best. And so volleyball was my sport I was good at volleyball, okay? I could jump high, I had a strong throwing arm, so those skills fit in great for volleyball. That's where I most tried to prove myself as an athlete, tried to gain glory for myself so that I could tell myself I have worth, I am good, because I am a good athlete. And so I ended up playing volleyball on the club team at A&M, and my sophomore year, this is in 2010, I had the chance that I wanted, okay, to prove myself as an athlete. So my team was going to make the trip to Dallas for the national tournament, okay? So it's like 50 teams from all over the country, like universities from all over, okay? And it's a four-day-long tournament there in Dallas to crown a national champion. And long story short, we went undefeated through the first 3 days. We ended up in the national championship match against the University of Florida. And this had a special meaning for me because I grew up in Orlando, okay? And so I had played volleyball with and against some of the guys on Florida's team. And we ended up winning, okay? So we won the national championship, you know. This is the pinnacle of my accomplishment. But I got to tell you, winning the national championship, you know, this pinnacle accomplishment for me, it did not have the effect on my heart that I thought it would. So I'm going to pause that story there, and we'll finish it a little bit later. But as Roger said, you know, our theme verse for this series is, we're talking about amazing grace. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So today, I'm talking about my pride, like I said. My pride is my most fundamental sin. I have this battle in my heart, raging, you know, between a desire for myself to be glorified versus a desire to see God's name glorified. And because of this pride, I deserve for God just to break me down to nothingness, to where I couldn't help but say that I am nothing and God, you are everything. So dealing with my pride is how I've most seen God's grace. And I'll be sharing some stories today, some scripture about how I've experienced God's grace throughout the past 10 years of him bringing me to humility. So like I said, I grew up in Orlando, youngest of four brothers. We were a Christian family, put my faith in Jesus at a young age, and I was actively following God all the way through high school. I always considered myself the smartest and most athletic in all of my public school classes. I had success in sports all throughout growing up. I had success in school. I had a great group of Christian friends all the way through high school. And in my mind, there's just no reason for me to lack confidence. Okay, so you can imagine how that would kind of build up some pride in my heart. Okay. And so my pride probably peaked my senior year of high school. Okay, so this is 2008 in Orlando. And so in order for you to understand my pride, like at this point, you might think, okay, yes, I accept that he's prideful, and he's going to talk about how God has humbled him. But I think for you to fully understand God's grace through my pride, you need to better understand just how proud my heart is. So I'm going to be practicing again, you know, boasting about my weaknesses. So I wanted to share some things that I took pride in, that I still take pride in when I indulge my sinful heart. So when I'm in a group of people, I compare myself to them, and I take pride in thinking that I can throw a baseball or a football farther than you can. Or throwing rocks. Do that too. Well, me and Alyssa play a game where she'll pick out a tree, and I have a rock, and I have to hit the tree. And I'll throw until I hit the tree because I want to be able to tell myself, hey, I'm good at throwing this rock. I take pride in jumping higher than you can. At least I used to back when I was in shape before dad bod kicked in. I take pride in being smarter than you, being wiser than you. I take pride in being funnier than you. And, you know, I tell myself these things. I speak it over my heart, okay? But they're not true. This is sin that I speak these things over my heart to inflate my own ego because I want to be seen as great. I want to be able to glorify myself in my own heart. Okay, so it's kind of a verse that describes my pride is Psalm 10:4. And so in Psalm 10:4 it says, "In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." So that pretty accurately describes my heart level at times, that there's no room for God in my heart because I just want to think about my own glory. And then another verse, it's Proverbs 16:18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." So that is like the preview for the story I'm about to tell you here now. Okay. So I want to tell a story, a couple stories actually, about how God's grace was present in my life as he's humbled me in the past. And so I came to A&M in 2008, okay? So 10 years ago, this month, August, I was moving from Orlando to College Station to go to A&M. I was coming here on a civil engineering scholarship, which just inflated my pride even more, you know. But I was just such a self-confident freshman coming here in A&M. And I even hate looking back at this time in my life because it's just so embarrassing the level of pride that I have. And I don't like talking about it. But I signed up to do it today. So here I am. So I came to A&M as a freshman. And up to this point, I had been following God, but I had decided that I was going to try to live out of my own wisdom. I was trying to prove that I was independent of my parents. And ultimately, at a heart level, I was trying to prove that I was independent of God. I was not concerned with obeying God or pursuing him in relationship. And this went about as badly as you would expect for someone coming in as a freshman, living this way. So I even, as I said, my family, we're a Christian family. And so I put on this mask for my parents to show them that I was still following God. And I attended a Campus Crusade Bible study in my dorm. And I did that so that my parents could see it and say, okay, he's still following God. He's doing good. But I faked my way through it. So I had been in Bible studies my whole life. I knew how to put on the mask and deflect or lie to the point where the leader of my Bible study had no idea what was really going on in my heart because I knew how to answer every question about the Bible study we were doing because in most cases I had done it before in high school. I knew how to lie about obeying God in my heart. But on the inside, over this year and a half, my first year and a half of college, over trying to live for my own gain, for my own satisfaction, became depressed. I only had shallow friendships. Because of the hurt in my heart, I turned to things to numb the pain. I would play video games for hours at a time. Like playing Halo online, oh man, I would just double kills all over the place. You know, I was awesome at it. Again, pride in that, as you can see. And then I also turned to pornography and had addiction to pornography. And so I'm just in this place of hurting that nobody can see except for God, where I don't want to let God in. I don't want to admit that God can see the pain. I knew I was hurting. I knew I was wrong. Still too prideful to ask for help. Still too prideful to let anybody know what I was really going through. And so my sophomore semester of my, first semester, sophomore year, I had a lack of motivation. I had this crisis where I realized, you know, I don't want to be an engineer. And I'm here on a civil engineering scholarship. Up to this point, still doing okay in school. I'd still passed all my classes. And my depression and lack of motivation reached a point where I gave up. And I stopped attending all of my engineering classes. And like, I would just sleep in and, like I said, play Halo online to the point where I didn't go to the classes, didn't go to the exams, didn't take the finals. I had just given up, okay? So I failed all those classes, obviously, okay? So at this point, like, God has humbled me to the point where I know that I'm nothing at this point when it comes to school and living out of my own wisdom. Like, I didn't go to my classes because I was an idiot and I failed them. And so, like I said, I still had this mask on, though, but, you know, I had to go home Christmas break that year. And eventually, you know, you get your grade report, and I had to show my dad. And that was up to this point. Like I said, in high school, I feel like I had every reason to have confidence, no reason to lack confidence. And then this conversation with my dad was the most humbling thing I'd ever experienced in my life. Because I knew that my dad knew that I was smart enough to pass the classes, okay? And he told me as much. And so I had to tell him that I didn't try. How I didn't go to any classes, and how I had just been living for myself and just made these colossal mistakes. Okay, but God's grace was present through my dad's response. He didn't respond in anger. He responded in kindness and in mercy. And my dad told me, you know, he said, "Brett, that I know you're smart enough to go pass these classes if you apply yourself." And seeing God's grace through my dad was just really powerful for me, because this was the first time I'd ever been humbled in anything, and I was just expecting a beatdown, like a verbal beatdown, to where my dad would bring my heart and my pride down even lower. But I think God's grace was present because God knew he needed to lift me up through my dad. And so I ended up switching my major to math, which I don't really know why I did this at the time, because it was like kind of out of the frying pan into the fire from engineering to math. And, you know, because I had failed those classes, I had lost my scholarship, and so I had to take out a large amount of student loans. But by God's grace, switched my major to math, graduated in 2012. Yeah. So when I came back to school after that Christmas break, so now we are spring semester 2010, God showed me his grace by providing a community of believers for me. So first week of class, spring semester, and at this point, I'm actually going to classes again, you see, okay? So in my statistics class, first week, I sat down next to Sean Ware. Yeah. And to this day, I still remember the shirt he was wearing. It was this bright yellow shirt from the MSC bookstore that said, like, "We buy books for cash" or something. And he probably still owns it, so if you see him wearing it, you'll know he's had that shirt for a long time. But yeah, Sean invited me to his home group, Sons of Thunder, that week. And at this point, I'm still playing on the club volleyball team, but I know that I need to be involved in the community. God had definitely humbled my heart to that point. And so first Thursday I go, I get there late because I had volleyball practice that night. But I made it in time for the life group. And in that first life group, I just poured out my heart to Sean. And I'm sitting there, we're in like a little tiny hallway in somebody's house I'd never been in. And I'm just bawling, you know, just describing to Sean how I had been living the last year and a half of my life for myself and not for God. And I'm confessing all the sin for Sean. And Sean just had such a loving response, and we prayed for me, and I was hooked. I was in this community for the rest of college, and God's grace was so present for me in this time, because again, I've been so prideful trying to live on my own. I didn't deserve for God to surround me with a community, but he did out of his love. And God had provided a community that was spurring me on to follow Jesus. God had given me a safe place where I could be receptive to God changing my heart. And he slowly started, you know, to root out this pride in my heart and replace it with a desire for his glory and a love for him. And in this home group, I had accountability for obeying God. So as I committed to this home group and I became a leader and made so many mistakes out of my own pride, God's grace was present for me still through the love and coaching of the guys above me, like Mark Gonzalez and David Munich and Sean Ware. And I think we have a picture of me and Sean and David at some point. This should be the summer. Okay, so that's, yeah, this is Sean actually baptizing me there. Yeah. Yeah, so God's grace was just so present through the community and through me meeting Sean. So I want to jump back into the volleyball story. So where we left off, okay? So we have just won the national championship, okay? So imagine we're celebrating like crazy, okay? We're going nuts. Okay, it was a whole night of celebration, a night of basking in the glow of my own accomplishment, of getting praise from everybody, everybody coming up and saying, Brett, you played so well in that championship match. Brett, you were awesome. I remember, so we accepted, you know, our national championship trophies and stuff, and then they announced the All-American team, and they said my name, and I walked across the stage, was given the other trophy, and this is just everything I wanted. It was the recognition, the praise. Brett, you are good at sports, and you have, you know, the trophies that represent it, okay? And I was loving it during this celebration, you know, because I could tell myself in my heart that I was good and that I was awesome. I didn't care as much about the outward praises. What I cared about more was in the quiet times alone that I could tell myself that I was good and that I was great as an athlete. And so that night, we're in Dallas. I'm in the hotel room. I have my trophies on my bedstand. And in my heart, there was just this emptiness. You know, I knew I could feel the Holy Spirit present with me telling me, Brett, this accomplishment through sports is not going to satisfy you. Your only satisfaction is found in Jesus. And so I ended up quitting the volleyball team, never played a competitive match of volleyball again. And I committed myself to serving God through my home group, which was a good decision, I would say. Because within a year, Alyssa had come to A&M, and she had joined our home group, and I met her. Oh, yep, there's our that's our goofy version. Oh, wait, can we go back one second? I think I was on the bottom right there. Yeah, so that's our that was my volleyball team after we had won. And so I want to fast forward to today because, like I said, I have pride in my heart. God's humbled me a lot in the past, and his grace has been with me throughout that. But God is still working on changing my heart. I still have active pride in my heart. The battle is still there, where I desire my own glory versus I desire God's glory. And so God's grace has been present for me as I became a new parent. So you can go ahead and go to the family picture. You can see that's my daughter Daisy there. She is just the cutest thing ever. And she's actually, this is a little older of a picture, but she just turned one in July. And she's my everything, you know. And after a year being a new parent, I can say that, you know, God giving me the gift of Daisy was definitely the sweetest way that he could have chosen to humble me. You know, at first, it felt like me and my pride was like planet Earth, and then this new baby, Daisy, was like just this meteor coming to destroy me, okay? And I couldn't speak praises over my own heart about being a good parent because I had no idea what I was doing, okay? I didn't know how to change a diaper. I didn't know how to put a baby to sleep. Didn't know how to give him a bottle. Didn't know even how to hold it. Like, how do you support his head, you know? Yeah, but God in his grace, he provided me a helper in Alyssa, who was just an awesome parent. And I didn't deserve for God to use such sweet gifts, such as Daisy, to help me deal with my pride. What he chose to, out of his grace and his love. So like I said, I still have this pride in my heart, and sometimes a lot of times, it can hinder my relationship with God. It can definitely hinder my praise of him. So sometimes when I'm here at church or in different home group worship times, you know, I have to go through these thought exercises to get my heart to a point where I can praise God and forget about my own desire for glory. And so I think about things that I take pride in. I think about, okay, athleticism, take pride in that. And I think, okay, here's Brett, and then here's LeBron. Okay, obviously, a little above. And then here's God. And I think about being smart. And I think, okay, here's Brett, here's my genius math professors from college, and then here's God. I think about parenting, Brett, Alyssa, God, and then I think about, yeah, that's how it goes. And then, you know, I think about telling dad jokes, and I think, okay, I'm down here, and then Pastor Roger is like right here. And then just a little bit above that is God. It's Pastor Roger's real close there, yeah. So, worship team, you can go ahead and come back on up here. So as I look back, you know, the last 10 years of my life since I came here as a freshman in 2008, I'm just overwhelmed by how softly God has handled my sinful pride and how he's been changing my heart. You know, he's preserved me and blessed me with a beautiful family. He could have left me to flounder on my own, trying to live for my own pleasure, out of my own wisdom. But he didn't. You know, God sees my heart. He sees my mind. He sees the sinful desire, you know, to look into a mirror of my heart and mind and say, I am the best. But instead, you know, God wants me on my knees. He wants me crying out, holy is your name. But, you know, my hope is in Jesus. One day, I'll kneel before the throne in heaven, and I won't be able to contain my praises for God. It'll be emanating from my heart, and I won't have any thought, simple thought, about my own pride. I'll just be overwhelmed with his glory. God, until that moment, God, I give you my broken, sinful heart for you to change. God, I ask you to root out my pride and replace it with praise for your name. Amen. The church, will you stand with me and join me in proclaiming the praises of our God?